Welcome back to Disney Dependent. I'm Sarah Chilcott.
And I'm Joshua Lyman. Yeah!
I almost forgot my name. That was weird. As I was saying it, I was like, what am I saying?
Who am I?
Who is this?
Hi. Oh, God.
Hi.
Well, it's the sun came out, so that's good.
Yeah.
It's been real wet and gray. I heard that Seattle, Washington got the most amount of rain in one day in its history of recording weather. And that was like a week ago.
Yuck.
Yeah. So, Deanna.
Nah.
Hope you're holding up there, you little SoCal girl. It's pretty gray around these parts, huh?
Yeah.
It's okay. Deanna doesn't go outside.
Yeah.
She's an inside person.
She's an indoor cat.
I'm mostly an indoor cat these days, too.
Oh, God. I was born an indoor cat.
I used to really like being outside.
It's
and I
fine.
Do when I am.
Yeah.
But I always forget that I like it.
Oh, yeah. You know, fresh air is good. Sunshine's good. Yeah. I do like all those things. I like it more now than I probably ever have.
It is constantly trying to kill you, though.
Yeah.
Both of you.
It's true. Yeah. I heard that Dad got, because you and Dad have had many, like, skin cancer moments where you've had to have them removed, and thank God you guys are okay. But he told me he had a spot on his foot recently. It's like, how does that happen?
I know.
Is that just all the flip-flop
wearing? He
wears
flip-flops.
Yeah. Walking around SoCal as a kid.
We can't say what he calls them, though.
Sure
Don't
can't.
Say it.
What a guy. I was thinking about my name the other day. Someone pointed out that, it was something I saw on Instagram. It was like, the name James is so, like, proper. Ashley's dad used to always say that it was
why doesn't
very...
he go by Jim? Jimmy.
Yeah.
So proper. James.
Which is hilarious to me.
The idea that you have a proper name.
Yeah. James. It's so weird to me because I don't see it that way at all. And also, Dad is Jim. I can't be Jim.
No. You could be Jimmy.
You could be Jimmy, but I'm
Jimbo.
A grown man and I shouldn't go by anything with E at the end. Timmy. Bobby.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Tommy. If you're
as
40,
long,
you're Tom now.
Here's the thing. You have to have always gone by that.
Yeah.
You can't suddenly become Jimmy.
Sure.
Can you imagine? Because, like, I know a guy named Tommy.
It's fine.
It's not weird.
And it's not, okay.
It's not weird at all.
I just thought it was weird, like, Jimmy
Scotty,
Fallon.
But he's always gone by Scotty.
Yeah. If he's always gone by that, then that's fine. I hear something. Ah,
thank God. This just in, it's 54 and cloudy at not Disneyland.
And it's a perfect 78 and sunny at Disneyland. Ash, how do you feel about that?
I'm conflicted.
I know you are. Because she really needs the fall.
Mm-hmm.
I do too.
Yeah.
I love the fall. I just don't like the wet.
Ash,
right
at
now
this
is
point,
perfect.
Most of the time, she's cool with the sunny SoCal vibe. She's like, this is great. We can go outside and go on long walks. But if you don't have the fall... And you don't have any indication that's going to snow at any time?
I'm desperate for snow.
She gets really bummed. Mm.
Desperate.
Yeah.
I do a lot of things.
Yeah, we just watched Little Women the other day.
Mm.
The one from the
90s. Good one.
The good
well,
one.
They're both
well,
good.
Well, they're both great. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the OG.
The one with Thomas Newman soundtrack, which is... Mwah!
And a very young Christian Bale. Anyway, there's a lot of snow in that movie, and Ashley
it's
was
romantic.
I'm
outside.
Ready for Christmas.
Oh,
so.
I'm so there.
I'm not.
Dude, the like, Starbucks off Bethany, which I go to very often, they always put up a really big Christmas tree there,
yeah.
And it's going up today. They started it today.
It is a November 8th.
Yeah. I'm so ready, man. I don't give a fuck.
Usually, I don't either.
Usually the rule is, okay, get through Thanksgiving. Day after, it's on.
Yeah.
No, this year... I am getting into it, man.
I know. I had to kill some time yesterday trying to avoid traffic, and I went into World Market.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to get some Christmas decorations.
And wait, where is World Market now?
It's over by Washington Square.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know the one in downtown closed.
Because I had Bar Academy out in Wilsonville. So it was over 30 minutes from home. To get there.
Oh, I didn't catch on that. That's why you brought that up earlier.
Yeah.
Because I also am a graduate of the whatever regional bar academy.
Well, this was just McMenamin's.
Oh, okay.
Just, yeah,
so it's more real than the dumb shit I did.
Not really. No, we sat in a room and drank liquor. It was great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is fun.
But then when it was over, I went to look at my travel back, and it was over an hour to get home. And I'm like,
yep,
nope. So I went to kill time. It didn't do anything for me. It just wasted time. And I got back in the car, and it was the same ETA.
Right.
So
right.
I'm like, well, okay, cool. But
I did that in Los Angeles once. I'm like, I'm just going to sit here for a while, wait it out.
Yeah.
It just gets worse.
Yeah. LA doesn't get better.
No. You got to wait till like 9 p.m. for it to get better.
Drive at 1 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be fun.
Maybe shave off a couple minutes.
Totally.
All right. It is a few days before our pal Mickey's birthday. November 18th, 1928 is when he was born.
Yeah.
And we're going to celebrate him by talking about his birthing appearance.
Oh, God.
The moment that he crowned his
can you imagine
mouse giving mom's
he crawled out of his...
Yeah. And that's what comes out of you?
So you're picturing
why?
His mom being a human?
Yeah, just a total normal human.
Giving birth to a cartoon mouse?
A cartoon mouse? Mickey Mouse. Dude, you would just... I don't know what you do.
Was he born wearing shorts? Was he... naked. Oh,
that's a good question.
He's born wearing shorts, and for some reason, no goddamn shirt.
Like, he snips out.
Yeah, yeah. He's.
But he is wearing gloves.
He's the opposite of Winnie the Pooh.
Which is worse. Winnie the Pooh is way
and
grosser.
Donald Duck.
To just wear a t-shirt?
Just, yeah.
That is serial that's killer behavior.
The number one ick
oh
about
my
a man.
God, walking out with just a t-shirt?
Okay. So, hide your shame.
Oh my like, God.
People talk about like that's so sexy for a girl to just like come out and
yeah.
like nothing but a t-shirt in her underwear or just like
so
a t-shirt.
So different for a guy.
And the opposite is
it's
true
just
for a man.
Hairy thighs and just bulges.
Thighs
I don't know
top
what's,
half okay, is covered.
So what's grosser? That their junk is covered by the t-shirt?
Or like that a little, it isn't.
Or that it isn't. Either one's
either
awful.
Either one is bad.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. Well, back to Steamboat Willie.
Yeah, how did I get there?
I don't know.
Okay, so in 1928, just a year after creating and then losing the successful Oswald the Lucky Rabbit series, Walt Disney Studio released the history-making animated film Steamboat Willie.
Yes.
It was not the first cartoon to use sound. It wasn't even the first short to feature Mickey, but it was groundbreaking, and it gave the world an icon, a shirtless, nips-out icon. So how did he come to be? In early February 1928, Walt Disney and his wife Lillian journeyed by train to New York, where Walt was going to negotiate a new contract for his popular Oswald the Rabbit cartoons. Walt wanted a modest increase of $250 per cartoon.
What's happening? Was that me?
I don't know what that sound was.
Was it the end of the world? What was
Are
that?
Are we going to die?
What was that alarm? Oh, it's me. I'm sorry. I just recorded an Instagram video.
Oh my God.
But I don't know what the alarm thing was.
That's weird.
Weird.
Wow. Deanna, try to isolate it and play it backwards and see if it says anything.
I've been waiting in, like, for this Latin. Moment my whole life. Either to have like some demonic, crazy end of the world thing, or even better, a Red Dawn moment where like China or Russia's invading and me and the guys, you know,
grab
the guys,
your Nerf guns.
You and your guys.
We grab my BB gun, we head up to the hills.
The BB gun.
We just defend this nation. Oh my God, I've been waiting for that moment my whole life.
I don't know why you would assume that it's a foreign threat when it was clearly Satan.
Hey, that's a foreign threat. I am a Christian lad.
Oh, my God. Okay, so distributor Charles Mintz offered, instead of $250 more per cartoon, he's like, nah, I'm going to give you $450 less per cartoon.
Oh, that's not good.
So Walt discovered that not only did Universal own the rights to Oswald, which was a common practice in the industry at the time for the studio to own the characters, but that Mintz had contracted with all of Walt's animators, except for UB Iwerks, to work for Mintz to produce future Oswald cartoons.
Wow, weird. I think that's, isn't that still common now that a studio would own, like a studio owns the Marvel rights or Spider-Man rights or whatever?
Probably, but he clearly wasn't aware of that.
Right.
Man, he poached all of his animators except for good old UB.
And also, his name is UB.
I know.
You poach
I
UB.
I mean, I just think of Dad when he just goes, "Hi, my name's Ub," and he shakes your hand.
Yeah.
Just to point out how ridiculous that name is.
So, obviously, he left. While riding home with Lillian by train, Walt was gutted. His big trip to New York was a bust. Mm-hmm. He was facing his third major setback since launching his Laugh-O-Gram animation studio in 1921. His first taste of real, meaningful success had lasted just about a year before he lost control of the hit character that he had created. And here he was with his wife, heading back home to a home that he had just bought, facing an uncertain future.
What a loser.
What a loser.
If history has shown us anything, Walt Disney did nothing.
I don't expect him to do much with his life after this.
After this, it's nothing. No. Living under a bridge.
Well, he refused to return home without a plan. So on that trip home from New York City, Walt was raging, vowing to be his own boss from then on, never again working on a project that he didn't own the rights to.
Yeah.
He used the trip to sketch ideas, and by the time he arrived in Los Angeles, had written out the basic outline for Plain Crazy, a short based on a mouse named Mortimer, inspired by Charles Lindbergh.
Right.
That's right. He started as Mortimer.
Mm-hmm. Thank God he changed that stupid name.
Mort.
Oh, God.
I like it.
All around the world love Mortimer the mouse. Nope.
What's the from Christmas or not Christmas Vacation? The Vacation. What's the moose?
Marty moose.
Is it Marty? Morty?
I think it's Morty.
Oh, I Marty would say moose. Marty moose. Marty moose. I don't know.
Someone don't know. Shouted at us in your car while you're
shouting. Shout it. Shout. We'll hear
what
it.
What is it? What is it? Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Thank you. So when Walt asked Lillian about her thoughts, she suggested he change the name and Mickey Mouse was born. So Walt liked to tell stories about Mickey's creation. There's a lot of them, and they're probably all not really true. So he would cite that he had a pet mouse that he had back at Laugh-O-Grams in Kansas City. Other times he would say that there was a mouse he found at Film Ad Company, one that he had trapped and trained.
What?
Like he's John Coffey from The Green Mile. Or no, not John Coffey, the other guy. Mr. Bojangles.
Yeah, Mr. Bojangles.
I forget what the guy's name is.
Are you saying that he's being sarcastic?
No, he would tell people, where'd you get the idea for Mickey Mouse? And this is the various shit that he'd come up with.
Like a lunatic.
Yeah, like an absolute disaster.
And then...
trained this mouse.
Wow, like, mm-hmm. I have a... like, imagine saying that.
There were stories about Walt seeing a mouse scamper by while he was drawing, sitting on a bench.
That sounds more like mm-hmm. it.
There was one where Walt was catching mice in a workplace trash bin and making them into pets.
Nope.
Or even training a mouse to sit on his desk so he could draw it and scaring the women in his office.
Nope.
There was one that he was inspired by a real live mouse, which lived in Disney's attic studio when he was a starving young artist. There was no mouse and there was no studio. And then Walt, in a 1959 interview, said, quote, "Yes, I had a pet mouse during my grade school days in Kansas City. He was a gentle little field mouse. I kept him in my pocket on a string leash. Whenever things seemed to get a bit dull between classes, I would let him rove about on his leash under the seats to get a laugh from the other kids. And he got laughs. Until the teacher rather sharply disagreed with my sense of extracurricular activities and made me keep the little beastie at home. Perhaps it was the fond memory of him and of others of his clan who used to pick up lunch crumbs in our first cartoon studio, aww, the family garage, that came to mind when we needed so desperately to find a new character to survive. Mickey Mouse's country forefathers, you might say."
Okay, here is the thing.
This is wild.
Very cute. But I think Walt Disney was a pathological liar.
Oh, 100%.
I mean...
there's no way that was true. And if it is, again, he's a goddamn lunatic.
Yeah, having a mouse on a string leash in your pocket at school?
What the fuck?
What a whack job.
Total whack job. And then imagine knowing him and then years later him going like, "I want to build a park under my likeness.
In honor of the mouse. That I had in my pocket."
What are you going to call it, Walt? Get this. Disneyland.
Yeah, get it?
Like get Macmillan it? Land. Imagine if I fucking told you guys. Oh, man. You'd be like, "Have you talked to James lately? He's training a goddamn mouse.
I love the idea of his friends from third grade hearing this interview.
Yeah.
And like, being what like, the fuck? Like,
that didn't happen.
That's not how that went down. Yeah. No.
I remember us catching a mouse.
He had a dirty rat he caught in the bathroom.
Is he talking about that rat?
He was petting it and talking to it.
He said it was talking back to him.
He's crazy.
Oh, man. And also basing... There's just, I think about this working in music, how crazy of a, like, to pay my mortgage and my bills, to work in music is fucking crazy. You know what I mean? It's just so, like, it's a dream. It's not real. There's no,
right.
We're not, like, iron workers. It's just,
there's nothing tangible.
There's nothing there. I offered nothing to civilization ever, especially my role. I'm not even the artist. It's even worse for me. But imagine being someone like Walt Disney, where, like, you know, my success of the business really counts on me coming up with a character. That's so wild.
Well, like, and Mickey Mouse doesn't even look like a mouse and never did.
Never did.
Never
no.
did.
No,
he... There's nothing that resembles a mouse in that face.
It's really just the ears that's sort of a mouse.
But they're kind not that the big. Nose? They have tiny little ears.
Yeah.
They have cute little tiny ears.
Right. Mice are adorable.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if you didn't know Mickey Mouse as a character...
You might not know it's a mouse. Cute.
It's right. terrifying.
Oh, especially the early versions. Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Well, once the men settled on a mouse, Walt himself drew up a model. It was too skinny, though, not appealing enough. Ub reworked the design, giving the mouse similar proportions to Oswald, a pear-shaped body, round features, and a distinctive elongated nose. More importantly, though, Oswald's movement was a major factor in Mickey Mouse's design. Ub wanted the character to be appealing as well as easier to animate.
Well, that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Nicely done.
I have an update for you guys.
What's up?
It is Marty Moose.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you.
I'm glad I could help.
We already knew that because Joe Bob already yelled it at us in the
car.
Well,
that's why I wasn't sure if you guys heard it.
Oh, yeah, we heard him.
Thanks, Joe Bob. Appreciate it.
Well, when Walt returned to Hollywood from New York that last week of March 1928, Walt and Ub developed the character. Walt and Roy had been able to save over $25,000 and decided to use that money to fund a new series of cartoons to save the studio.
There you
Absolutely batshit crazy.
Batshit crazy. Unreal. It's so impressive, though.
The first two cartoons were silent and were titled Plain Crazy and Gallopin' Gaucho. Although promising, the shorts weren't good enough to land Walt a distribution deal. Something was missing. What Mickey needed was sound.
Ah.
But Walt knew that he had to do this the right way. It wouldn't be enough to just have music playing while the cartoon action happened on screen. It needed to be integrated. To accomplish this, they needed to know how to measure the speed of animation versus the music's tempo.
Right.
Animator Wilfred Jackson brought in a metronome, which they used to figure out a tempo to match the animation. Then they planned the action so that the sound effects would be spaced out to match the music. After figuring out how to add music to Steamboat Willie, Walt had to convince his team that it would work. He set up a test screening. Ub animated a rough sequence of Mickey at the steamboat's wheel, and Walt arranged for Jackson to play harmonica and other animators to make various sound effects. Walt did the voices, of course.
Right.
The boys then experimented with playing the sequence in a makeshift projection sheet and matching it with sound. Several of their wives served as the test audience for many, many hours, and they reportedly got very bored by about 2 a.m.
So. I bet they did.
That's so fast. It's so DIY. Like punk rock days for Walt Disney.
So for the animation, for the most part, Ub animated the entire film himself in what is known as straight-ahead animation, which meant that he did the first drawing, and then the second drawing, and then the third drawing, and so on and so on.
Wow.
In order.
That's insane.
It would be a while before the concept of key drawings, assistants, and in-betweeners became the process.
Right.
By this time, Walt had given up doing any animation at all, and his primary contribution was the development of the character and the story. However, unlike the first two Mickey Mouse cartoons, Iwerks did have some animation help on Steamboat Willie. Wilfred Jackson was so eager to become an animator that he turned up at the Disney studio one day and offered to pay Walt tuition until he had gained experience. I will pay to work for you.
That's crazy.
Walt gave him a job washing the ink and paint off cells so they could be reused. Jackson was at the Disney studio only a week before the Oswald the Rabbit animators left. So he was there in that whole ordeal.
I was going to say, you mentioned the cells. Have you guys ever seen those?
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy how, Ash, you hear me say this all the time. I don't know how anyone did anything.
I know.
Prior to, I don't know, like, I mean, really prior
95?
To. 95? Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you watch them. How do you even add sound to this goddamn thing? They're filming it with an analog camera. The cell is like a glass pane, mm-hmm. plane, basically. Yeah, and then, like, they're doing it shot for shot. That's, okay, so I can comprehend how they do the animation, because it's just stills that,
and like, then do they have, like, yeah. a record that they play at the same time? Like, 1, 2, 3, start.
Yeah.
Okay, but then how do you sync, then what? Okay, so now you have a recorded tape, reel-to-reel back then, I think.
If that.
How do you merge that?
I don't know what they would do.
There's no computer.
Yeah.
So the editing was all by hand.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They would splice it,
literally
cut it.
Cut yeah. the film.
It's how they used to make records, too.
That's yeah. how hard this was for them to make.
I mean, it's so impressive. It's so crazy. Like that, the skeleton.
Yep.
Skeleton dance.
Yeah. That was made in,
I think, 28?
28, something
Same
like
year.
That. I mean, what? Yeah. 1920. Fucking eight. There wasn't even really movie theaters. It's really impressive. It's insane.
Well, intern Jackson quickly moved up into the role of an apprentice animator. His first animation was the cycle of Minnie Mouse running along the riverbank in Steamboat Willie. Jackson went on to win several Oscars for his directing work on Disney animated shorts. So that worked out for him.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, why is it called Steamboat Willie? A lot of articles out there say it's a parody of Buster Keaton's silent comedy Steamboat Bill Jr., released earlier that same year.
Okay.
But I've never heard of that.
No, but there's no connection in the storyline at all. The only connection is just the Steamboat name.
Hmm.
If anything, the name was similar in order to capitalize on audience familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
And as for why a steamboat, well, they were kind of a big deal in the 1920s.
Again, because it was the 20s.
Yeah. Audiences were already familiar with the popular Broadway musical Showboat, which premiered in 1927. So why isn't it Steamboat Mickey?
Right.
Well, first of all, no one had ever heard of Mickey Mouse at this point, so there would be no name recognition there. But much more importantly, and this is cute, Walt always insisted that when an audience went to see a Mickey Mouse cartoon, that they were not seeing the adventures of Mickey Mouse. Mickey was an actor performing a role, just as Clark Gable or Cary Grant would.
Right.
That is adorable.
It is adorable. And if you think about it, Mickey Mouse is really one, I think it's the only Disney character that doesn't have its own proper IP. Yes, there's like Mickey and Friends TV shows and things like that. But there's not like a movie. Not that I know of. Not like there is for all of the other characters. You know
I
what
mean,
I mean?
There's like the ones that have the whole crew in them.
Exactly. But I'm just saying it's not like a Mickey-driven film. Not that I'm aware of.
He's usually just like the lead.
He's really the Nike swoosh of the company. It's not. That's what he is. He's right. The branding. It's not so much a character.
Right.
Very interesting.
Well, this construct positioned Mickey Mouse in the marketplace quite differently than any other cartoon characters of the time. Mickey was not Steamboat Willie. He was portraying the role of a character named Steamboat Willie.
Interesting.
And in his next film, he could play anyone, even if the character shared many of Mickey's own characteristics. If anything, he's just typecast in everything he does.
Right.
They do divert from that fairly quickly, though, because like in the 30s and 40s, all those Christmas, you know, like Mickey and Pluto. And
they all seem reasonable for a Mickey Mouse to do, though. Like,
well, I'm just saying it's called Mickey's Christmas or something,
right?
Right, or something,
right? But
to that effect.
but he's playing Cratchit. Is that his name?
Oh
yeah, and
Cratchit,
some of them he
Cratchit,
is
right.
Sure. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, or like the
Jack and the Beanstalk.
I was just gonna say that.
Yeah. He's Jack.
He's Jack. Huh.
Fun fact: an entire segment went missing from the cartoon for decades. In this lost segment, Mickey pulls on the tails of little pigs suckling on their mother.
Oh.
Then Mickey picks up the mother pig, kicks off her suckling piglet still hanging on for dear life, mm-hmm. and plays the mother pig like an accordion by pushing on her teats. Do not like.
We got to find this
Do not like
missing
that.
Scene.
I think I've seen that.
I think
that
I've
sounds right. Like,
I think
it
that's
sounds
in
like
a Saw movie
seen.
Or something.
It was added in later, so you might have seen that version.
That's so
It was
disturbing.
Gone for decades, though.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the character of Pete. Now, Mickey may be the classic, but Pete is actually the longest continually appearing Disney character.
Right.
He first showed up in a 1925 Alice comedy and eventually appeared in 4 Alice comedies and 7 Oswald cartoons prior to Mickey stepping on the scene.
Is he the bad guy? The bad guy cow or whatever?
Yes. We'll get into cow? That. Before 1930, he was sometimes called Putrid Pete or Bootleg Pete. Okay. And audiences wondered if he was some kind of bear because of his shape and size. But Walt's original script identifies him as a, quote, cat captain.
What?
Cat captain? Yes. He looks nothing like a cat.
Yeah.
He kind of has pointy ears.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know.
Huh.
But hilariously, Pete isn't even really a villain in this cartoon. He's a bit gruff, but basically as the captain of the steamboat, he just needs his only friggin' crew member, Mickey, to do the goddamn job he's supposed to be doing rather than goofing off, which is what he does.
Yeah. Mickey's the villain in this. He's the bad guy.
Yeah. So now about the music. The Disney studio could not afford to hire a composer or pay royalties, so they relied on music that was in the public domain. The opening song that Mickey Mouse whistles was a popular parlor song entitled Steamboat Bill.
No.
This is what Mickey is whistling when he's doing his little whistle with his butt jiggle.
Boop-a-dee-boop-a-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-boop.
Steamboat Bill, steaming down the Mississippi. Steamboat Bill, a mighty man was he. Steamboat Bill, steaming down the Mississippi. Out to break the record of the Robert E. Lee.
No way.
Yeah. So that song recounts the story of Steamboat Bill, who commands the steamboat named the Whippoorwill in its efforts to beat the record of the famous steamboat, the Robert E. Lee, which in 1870 set a record time covering the stretch between New Orleans and St. Louis. In the song, the Whippoorwill is pushed beyond its limits and its boiler explodes, which you see in the short, sending Bill and a gambler high in the air, where Bill gets another bets another $1,000 that he'll go higher than the gambler. So they're just outbidding each other. There was a little bit of an oopsie poopsie, though, is that historians later discovered that that song was not in the public domain at the time, but it doesn't seem to have come up, and Disney likely didn't know that.
Wow.
Wait, so they have to pay on it?
They would have, but
nobody ever called
it. No one ever called it.
Damn.
The other prominent song is Turkey in the Straw, which definitely was in the public domain. The lyrics of the tune that comes out of the goat's mouth after eating the sheep music are, "Went out to milk, and I didn't know how. I milked the goat instead of a cow. A monkey sitting on a pile of straw, a-winking at his mother-in-law."
Awkward.
That's a real weird time back then.
Yeah. Don't milk the wrong thing.
Although, I always think of people, you know, in 100 years from now, when they read WAP.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
they read the lyrics to wet ass pussy. You know? They're just like,
macaroni in a pot.
What's happening then? They really let themselves go.
Well, if you're wondering what Turkey in the Straw sounds like,
that's exactly what I thought it would sound like. As I was riding down the road with a 2-horse wagon and a 4-horse load, I cracked my whip and the lead horse sprung. Said goodbye to the wagon tongue. Turkey in the straw, turkey in the hay, turkey in the straw. That's where that tune comes from.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, okay. Cute.
So, according to Neil Gabler's Walt biography.
Gabler?
Yeah, Neil Gabler. We have that book.
Change the name.
Shut up. Drink your iced coffee. Is it decaf?
It's actually not.
Yeah, you're back on the wagon, huh?
But I'm having one a day, and I spilled my other one I had, like half of it, so aww. I got a small... It's a thing. I'm not going to drink much past where that is, okay? Is
everyone fine. All right? You're allowed to drink as much caffeine as you want.
No,
you I just should. Might not sleep at
I'm
night.
Just saying. It's not a judgment. It was a...
A curiosity.
It was a... I was cheering you on.
Oh, well, yeah. I am back...
First, I was telling you to shut up, but then I was... realizing you were drinking coffee and I needed to know what was going on over there.
I'm starting my day with decaf. I start in the morning here at the house. We have decaf.
Really?
Yeah. It's changed my life.
I'm off caffeine.
It has changed my life. It's crazy, sir. I'm so much more awake.
The one time that I had caffeine after I went off.
Dude.
I had insomnia all night long and I got nauseous that afternoon.
And now I have one cup of coffee with caffeine a day.
So we're little bitches, basically.
And I have to, like, before... I mean, even now, it's kind of late for me now.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, anyway. Okay. For those who are super addicted to caffeine, I recommend getting off for 2 weeks. It's going to suck at first, and then it gets so much better.
I just imagined you hearing yourself saying that like a month ago.
Oh, God.
And just...
I would have kick rocks, guy. Get out of here.
You commie bastard.
It's the only thing I have left.
Okay, so according to Gabler, the timing for distributing the film was kind of awkward. After the jazz singer, which was the first talkie that was popular at the time, everyone knew that change was coming to the industry. And while distributors didn't want to invest in silent cartoons because they felt outdated, at the same time, no one had quite figured out how to do sound cartoons either. So it felt like a gamble.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Walt did have some options with Universal, which would have been even more sweet because his old frenemy Charles Mintz was also trying to get a deal with the studio. However, the offer just sucked. So eventually, Walt met a guardian angel in Harry Reichenbach, manager of the Colony Theater, a man Gabler describes as, quote, a self-professed ballyhoo artist and proud of it.
Unreal. God, I love when you realize that they really talked like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Disney wanted $1,000 for distribution rights, and despite that being steep for the time, Reichenbach agreed. And so Steamboat Willie opened on November 18th, 1928, playing on the bill before the movie Gang War.
Oh, you don't say.
A standard gangster piece, primarily silent with some talking sequence. And I looked up the plot for Gang War. Here it is. A saxophone player, Clyde, who busks on the San Francisco Bay waterfront. One night, he meets Flowers and teaches her to dance, but finds that Blackjack, the leader of a ruthless gang, is also in love with her.
These names.
Awful.
Flowers. Blackjack. That's awesome.
The music for Gang War was composed by Alfred Sherman, father of the Sherman Brothers.
Oh, look that's at that cute.
Little connection.
Cutie patootie. So Steamboat Willie was the first cartoon to successfully integrate music, voice, and effects into a film, and had a main character that was likable to boot, and so it was a massive hit. Variety declared Steamboat Willie was a high order of cartoon ingenuity and a peach of a synchronization job all the way.
A peach.
God.
Ballyhoo.
Ballyhoo.
Someone wrote that on a typewriter and they had a weird small mustache. Their yep. hair was slicked back.
Chain smoking.
Yeah. When America was America.
Oh, God. The New York Times said Steamboat Willie was an ingenious piece of work with a good deal of fun. It growls, whines, squeaks, and makes various other sounds that add to the mirthful quality.
Amazing. Amazing.
Weekly Film Review said, it kept the audience laughing and chuckling from the moment the lead titles came on the screen, and it left them applauding. And Exhibitors Herald said, quote, it is impossible to describe this riot of mirth, but it knocked me out of my seat.
Wow.
So Walt proved...
I was about to come. I was so stoked.
It is impossible to describe this amount of mirth. So with that, Walt proved that his ambitious, quality-driven approach to animation would pay off. He created a character that resonated with audience while also establishing Disney as a studio known for its music, which is a distinction that still lives on to this day.
Damn straight.
Soon after the short's debut, offers for more Mickey Mouse cartoons came a-rolling in, but Walt had been burned too hard before, so Disney Studios would be the only one touching a Mickey cartoon.
Good, good, good. Word. Man. Very smart man.
My sources were AnimationScoop.com, MousePlanet, and SlashFilm.com.
Well done, as always, Ash.
Radical.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, as Disney fans... You know about Steam Willie, Steamboat Willie, Steam Willie. That is a totally, I think that's a porn.
That is, yeah. Ash is
all
trying
Steam Willie.
To blow seltzer water out her nose that's, right now.
That's the name of my dick, Steam Willie. Sometimes I let him out. Sometimes I let him out to vent.
I'm just imagining the cover to Free Willy, Steam Willie.
Yeah, anyway, I don't know what I was saying. It's just cool to find out how the sausage was made, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, I love all of the drama, too.
Speaking of sausage, Steam Willy. Fuck yeah.
Let's recommend some stuff.
Mm. Let's do it, man.
Dude.
Man.
I've got nothing new to recommend. I've just been working and yeah. watching the same thing. We still are watching Suits.
Well, let that be your recommendation. Sometimes you just gotta stick to it.
Yeah, I get...
You just gotta get her done, man.
I get home, and then we just hunker.
You're living.
We work opposite hours. So, yeah, I'll get home pretty late at night, and Josh says, you want to watch a program?
A program?
And I say, yeah, I want to watch a program.
Hell yeah.
And then we watch, like, 4 episodes of Suits.
Okay.
And we thought we were done. We thought we got through season 8.
Yeah.
And then found out there's a season 9.
Oh, did you love that?
It's on Peacock and Prime,
but
not on Netflix.
Oh, so you're going to have to...
For those of you who have either watched some of it and plan to get back into it, or you thought you were done with season 8...
Did you watch season 9? There's
another season.
Are you watching season 9?
We're like halfway through it now.
Okay, got it. That's amazing.
Season 8 sucked, by the way.
Okay.
But that's okay.
But that's a lot of seasons, homie.
It's a lot of seasons, and season 9 seems to be... doing better.
At some point, shows that go on that long, they always start sucking a little bit. What was I going to recommend? I got 2. The first one's real quick, throwaway. Ashley and I watched a very dumb and addicting reality show on Netflix called Outlast.
Okay.
It's one of those like survival shows in Alaska. They're all the same. But this one was a little different because, well, there's one called Alone,
which is like
that one's legitimately a decent one. Good.
Yeah,
just people testing their own survival skills out,
and it's just alone
in the wilderness.
Alone, and they just whoever lasts the longest,
right?
And that one's fascinating and like real survival shit. I think one of the guys goes well past 3 months.
It's Outlast pretty crazy. Is like if you Outlast. Took Alone and you made it the real world.
Yeah, and so you have to be a part of a team. There's 4 teams: Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, and Delta. And the rule is you have to stay part of a team. The last team left wins $1 million.
Okay.
And then everything else is very vague, the rules.
Yeah.
So
people be people.
People start being people and start like ransacking the other camp.
Sabotaging.
And it's Alaska where it gets like 20 degrees overnight.
Right.
It's starting to snow. There's bears everywhere. It's real shit.
Yeah.
But it's mixed with like crazy reality TV shenanigans.
Okay.
Actually out there surviving, and they're actually out there like hunting and fishing and trying to get by.
Right.
But wow. The real world atmosphere. Yeah.
It's so fun though. Yeah. It's so dumb.
I watched one episode alone and I was like, I'm going to have to watch this with James because this is absolute dog shit and we have to enjoy this together.
Who was the producer? We were like, that's the guy that produced it?
Jason Bateman.
That's what it is.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Maybe it's not the Jason Bateman.
Yeah. Oh. I wonder if it's not.
Some other dude named Jason Bateman.
That's
so I told funny. You guys I watched Love is Blind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was embarrassing.
Yeah, I bet.
It was not planned.
It just happens.
I don't know what happened to me, but yeah, I got real into that. I watched one season, and I'll never watch more of it.
Dude,
I say now.
I do that every once in a while, too. Okay, so you guys know how I get really into stuff.
Yeah.
And I just go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And just my curious brain just doesn't let up.
Uh-huh.
Well, lately.
I don't know where he's going with this.
I have been watching very dark content YouTube about specifically this channel. What's the name of the channel? It's a very weird name. It's PP, like P, not PP, like not like urine. The letters PP, Southeast Texas, weird handle. But this guy and his like 2 friends, they go around and they catch child predators, like sexual predators. And it's not like YouTube-y and over the top at all. It is the opposite of that.
Uh-huh.
The main guy is like very tall and oafy and overweight and just atrocious looking. He's an absurd looking person.
Right.
But they do their research that you don't really, they don't put that part on camera for whatever reason. And, you know, they'll like pretend to be a 12-year-old kid and communicate with this creep and then get him to like say awful shit and, you know, agree to meet up with them. And then they will show up at their house or place of work or wherever. And they'll travel around the whole country. Mm-hmm. They've even been to Canada. They've had arrests in 48 states so far.
Wow.
And he puts out a video every week. This guy's just murdering these guys.
Good.
Yeah. So he'll what he'll do is he'll like knock, 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 show up. Or he'll get them on the phone, mm-hmm. and what he'll say is, hey, and he's brilliant at getting them to talk, because mm-hmm. he pretends that he's on their side.
Right.
And it's like an hour plus conversation with these people, and then the cops show up. It is the best content you could possibly watch, because he gets on their good side. He'll say, like, yeah, so we need to talk about this stuff, and you know what I'm talking about. And I don't want your family to hear, so why don't you just step outside with me? And they're like, am I being arrested? He's like, no, to make that very clear, I'm not law enforcement. But again, we have a lot of stuff, and I think you should talk to me. You know, like, you seem like a good guy. Like, you work with deaf people. You seem like a good guy.
Right.
So, like, you know, and you're only 26. So, you know, if you were 85, I'd probably just give this to the cops. But you're young. You clearly made a mistake. Let's just talk it out. That's how it always goes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll go, well, why is someone filming me? He's like, oh, that's for my safety. It's just for my, we're not publishing this. I would have ruined your life by now if I wanted to. You know what I mean, brother? And, like, gets him to fist bump. Sometimes he even hugs them.
Yeah.
Like, man, I can only imagine what you're going through. Let's talk about it. How did this all start? And blah, blah, blah. Gets him to say everything on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't let up until they do, because he keeps threatening them. Like, if you don't tell me, I'm going to go ruin your life right now. So it's up to you, you know? And then at some point, one of the other guys calls the police. They show up, and the cop is always bewildered as to what's happening.
Right, like, of course.
Hi, what are we doing here, guys? You know? And then he'll just, the host will turn to the cop, and as the cop, he always says the same shit, as the cop is walking up, he'll turn to the creep guy and go like, oh, I don't know who called the cops. You know, we've been standing out here for a while. Maybe someone was just kind of concerned or something, but we didn't call them. And to get them to not run.
Right.
And he'll say, like, don't worry, man. I'll vouch for you. And like, we're all good. Just act like nothing's happening. And then as soon as they're in front of him, he'll say, yeah, so Bill over here, you were saying that you wanted to sleep with a 12-year-old girl and that you're going to delete all the pictures off your laptop, right? You said you're going to do that. That's currently on your laptop right now. And they always go, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I want to move on from this. Yeah. I will delete all those child pornography videos I have on my phone.
Oh, God.
And then he'll go, okay, so you got that on your body cam. We have an hour plus of him saying that in more detail. And here's screenshots and all the evidence. We're good? And the cop's like, yep. They just arrest him and walk away.
Wow. It is
brilliant. And there's like just dozens and dozens of these videos.
I am going to check
this
that
guy
out.
Rules, man.
Here's the thing. There are only a few things you can do in this world that are
like
unforgivable.
No go. You're done with me level.
You touch a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unforgivable.
You're done.
That's it.
That's it.
That's.
Yeah. There's no excuse. Like,
no,
I was
redemption.
Molested as a kid, or nope. And people say that often, and it's sad.
Of course, it is.
But life is tough.
Lots
life
of
is
people
sad.
Who are molested?
That's right.
Turn their lives around to do things like this guy.
Yeah, war instead, combat veterans know? Come back home, and they have PTSD.
But
they don't get to go shoot up the place. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
they don't have. The crime is still a crime, no matter what your background is.
And it doesn't really matter what's going on in your head.
Not at all.
The actions you take are...
That's all that matters.
That's what matters.
And you are doing so... It gets so dark. I'm not just talking... I mean, it's bad enough that someone's 12 or 15. We're talking infants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As dark as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And there are, like... There's these apps and dark web applications that people use that... I didn't know it. There's a thing called Telegram. Ashley, you said you've heard of that before.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing. That's like a huge one for CP.
Yep.
Anyway, it's dark and it's sad, but it's so gratifying to watch these bastards get caught.
Fantastic.
And held accountable. The last one I watched, this guy, old dude, lives in the middle of nowhere, Wyoming or whatever, and he's dying of COPD. You know, he comes hobbling out of the house, older, he's like 70 or something, and he's already a registered sex offender. And the guy gets him, the thing I just told you, gets him to tell him everything. Mm-hmm. But it's really like, you promise you're not calling the cops? We're good here? Like, this was enough? 10 or 12 times. And when the cops show up, the hard 180 the host does is so fucking funny. He just like, yeah, what? I lied. Yeah, here's the cops. Fuck you. You're an asshole. You're such a creep. You know you're a creep.
Yeah.
It was like an hour and a half of like really intimate conversations, right, and where he trusted him.
Uh-huh. Where you're starting to feel sorry for old guy.
Yes.
Of course.
And he's crying. He's like, how could you do this to me? You said you wouldn't call the cops. And he's just laughing and pointing at his face. It's so good. Like, you sleazeball.
Yeah.
Fuck oh. Yeah, man. Oh, I'm addicted to it. So that's my my new YouTube rabbit hole. Sometimes I'm into horses, and sometimes I'm into this. What are you going to do?
He needs to find one where it's like mounted YouTubers.
Yeah, to combine the two.
Yeah, oh. Arriving on horseback.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Ooh, what about the, like, what is it, the Canadian... The
Mounties?
Yeah, the police.
Except that they're Canadian.
Yeah, but that could be a whole new thing you could dive into. You become obsessed with them.
Yeah.
Be like your Mounties. Thing. You'll like collect Mountie figurines and you'll dress as the horse for Halloween next year.
Sure,
She'll be a Mountie. I can see it.
It's like, have you guys seen James lately? He's dressing like a Mountie, but not even the Mountie. He's dressing like the horse from the Mountie. It's getting weird, man. I think we need a welfare check on him.
Oh.
Well, we entertained you guys enough.
Oh, boy, did we. Did you have anything?
No, I'm going to save it for next episode.
Okay.
Ooh, what a mystery.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Disney Dependent.
See you real soon. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Disney Dependent.
And you can send us an email at disneydependent@gmail.com.
This podcast is produced by Producer Ash.
The logo is by Ryan Hatch, and you can find him at WRHatch on Instagram. The music is by Ryan Knowles, and you can find him at Ryan Allen Knowles on Instagram.
This show is mixed and edited by Deanna Chapman. You can find Deanna at Deanna_Chapman. And this has been a Team Dynamite Goat production. All right. Well, thank you for listening to the show, and we'll be back here next week.